Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Art and Labor. I'm OK Fox.
And I'm Lucia Love.
And we're coming at you from New York City. Another week in paradise.
Oh, gosh. It's amazing out there. The trash smell is starting to cultivate that real tang.
I say that, but it honestly is a really nice summer because everyone's like, no one can go to bars. All the big events are canceled. And so everybody just goes to the protests. And
God.
I think it's chill as fuck. Frankly, like, to get people like into like, because there's so many people who I feel like didn't really make it out to like earlier Black Lives Matter protests that are now like, oh, okay, I'm ready. I literally have nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, I've been thinking a little bit about the whole what is happening with the protests and COVID. Yep. Kind of thinking a lot about it, but I don't know why other people aren't.
they are. It's tough. Like our mutual aid group, like they don't want people doing grocery runs if they've been to the protests. So it's this tricky balance of, are you going to be doing grocery runs? Or are you going to go to the protests?
Yeah. I mean, that's all well and good and everything. But if we have like these record breaking numbers of people joining in assembly during a pandemic, it's like, it's not going to really help if a few people are quarantined. That's basically like the herd immunity plan that everybody wanted us to get on, except for now we just decided to do it for ourselves because we want to like destroy racism by also like having another spike in COVID.
Yeah, I mean, people are at the end of their fucking... I listened to the big... Glenn Greenwald has a video thing, and he's a problematic fave, of course, but... I like hearing his controversial takes or more confrontational takes or whatever the fuck. He had he dedicated like a whole hour to the state basically like having a totally schizophrenic response to COVID, and he had this discussion with this like health public policy guy who like disagreed with some of his points, but like it was like a very nice discussion of people who like slightly disagreed. I recommend people check that out, but basically like Glenn Greenwald was the state is like now encouraging people to go out to these protests. Like politicians are participating in them, and like health officials like are even like saying that like it's like racism is also a health crisis that needs to be confronted and all this stuff. And like Glenn's point was like, you know, we can't limit people's like freedom of protest and say that one protest is bad and one protest is good. But then the person who like sort of disagreed with him brought up some good points, like, well, it's like further along in the pandemic where we understand things a bit better. And his other point was like, the other protest was literally about like not wearing masks and like reopening, directly going against like best practices or whatever. And then the other
idea. Yeah, I mean, I get that there's two different conversations going on in terms of how to construct liberty or whatever. you know, that who feel like the quarantine was their main issue. But it's like, I mean, either way, I don't really think that, you know, I'm not really referring to the nature of the, you know, the content of the protest. People could be protesting whatever. It's just that, like, the actual concrete action is the thing that spreads COVID. And we're like, right. It doesn't really matter, like, why people are doing it at a certain point. It's like, hey, we understand the mechanics of this virus, and we're also just going ahead and doing things. But, like, I get that there's no other way. It's just sort of like...
No, also, the point too of, like, there is a difference between everybody's wearing masks and outside, and everybody's not wearing masks and literally, like, spitting, yelling in each other's faces. Like, there's there is a difference of risk. And the other key point here is that the cops, who are supposed to be...
Yeah, they're not wearing masks.
Yeah, but I mean, publicly accountable.
It's just
not.
Like, I'm looking at this whole thing. It's like, of course, you know, I'm also going to marches and seeing, like, that there are people who will all pass around a microphone, and then they'll take their mask off to talk into this microphone and then, like, hand it to each other. So I just think that there's a lot of, like, performativity going on in terms of how to stay safe, and that everyone is actually pretty lax about it. And
of course.
It's just like...
People are being lax.
Yeah, because, like, we've just kind of decided that, like, in the order of magnitude, it's actually now become, like, more important to fight racism than to fight the virus.
I mean, yeah, that is part of it. Like, and I do recommend this, like, recent discussion on the Intercept's YouTube, because it gets into, like, all these different points. Because it's just, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is, like, a complete lack of consistency from anything at all. Everybody's just like,
yeah. And that's kind of what I was saying, like, you know, a few shows ago. It was like, no, we're not gonna have any sort of, like, we're not gonna come to any unified conclusion about what it means to be living in a world where everything, it has the potential to kill us. It's just like, we're just gonna live in a world where it's easier to die. We're gonna decide it's not an issue to deal with anymore. And we're just going to start, like, attacking other aspects of, like, you know, capitalism and exploitation. And it's just going to be like, oh, well, we're going to go and we're going to fall back on these kind of, like, tried and true methods of, hey, you know, what if everybody gets out in the street together and we really show this people power, and we'll just keep, like, crowdfunding that bail fund, and we'll just keep this whole viral cycle going where protesters, like, you know, save a bunch of them, go into a jail, and then what if, like, somehow they don't have access to a mask in there, you know what I mean? There's just,
and they don't, I mean, and it's, and that's all part of it. And, like, this is, like, a chemical warfare. Like, you know, the other part about the police not wearing masks is that they're also throwing chemical weapons, and, like, it forces people to take off their masks, like, and cough, and, like,
there's not
a hierarchy of, like, public health that's being adhered to on any level from any agency, really.
Right.
It's completely inconsistent, and, like, the, like, ruling class and the politicians just utilize and weaponize it.
But it's just like, I really don't understand the way that, like, the protest strategy is functioning, because we all are like, we got to the point where we understand that we have to do a collective action, and we've gotten to the point where we understand that there is something that is, like, very detrimental to public health that we're also angry about, but we're like, okay, well, let's not, like,
well, of course there is no, there's no strategy. There is no strategy. It's an anarchist, like, tinged like happenings, like it's autonomous zones. It's like this by nature doesn't have a strategy, and it's like, where is America going to find a body that can channel these uprisings into political action? What would that be? Would that be the fucking DSA, whose best person they could muster was, you know, Bernie, Biden is my friend, I drop out early, I think cops should be paid more, actually, Sanders. And that's like the best they could do, and that failed. And that's, I think, just the nature of what happens.
Well, I just don't know. I think it's like kind of weird that we talk about things in terms of success or failure when we're really just like kind of, everyone is like throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks. And
well, that's exactly my point. Yeah. That's like there's not,
but it's, yeah. And it's just like, you know, I feel like a lot of conversations on the left are just like nitpicking the one person that we have in the Senate, you know what I mean? And it's just like, well, this is exhausting and also a failure to be
Bernie Sanders
said this and Bernie Sanders said that. And it's like, why aren't we just having a conversation about how to like actually form a coherent left in our
electoral party
politics?
Wasn't the whole thing like there is like debates within DSA forever about like, should we endorse Bernie again? Should we make another party? Should we blah blah blah?
Yeah.
And the consensus or voting within DSA was like, we're gonna do it within the Democrats and we're gonna endorse Bernie. If that has now failed again, not saying that it's people, it's the organizers' fault. I think the organizers are amazing. I think it's the establishment. I think it's the media. And I think it's just a fucking crooked bourgeois democracy that doesn't allow for reform. At that point, then wouldn't we go back to the drawing board and be like, well, we have to be our own party. We have to get out of trying to reform this thing that cannot reform itself. And that's exactly like the points that, you know, Cornel West is making on fucking Anderson Cooper, which is pretty cool to watch.
Oh, sure. But I mean, you know, and he's been at it for a hot minute, just kind of talking about how to build people power. And that's his personal brand, like, you know, and I get it. It's like, sure, there are leftists who just want to be separatists and not really like address the system that is in operation, because it just seems like, you know, beyond repair or something, which I really just don't understand how, like, what people think is going to happen, you know, like by people splitting up and making another part. It's just, but all right. So it's like, we're, you know,
I don't want to fucking work within the Democrats anymore. I don't want to do it.
Well, of course, nobody does. And it's honestly, I mean, that is a clear failure. Like, but what I'm saying is, like, I want to just circle back to the point I'm trying to get to, which is that we have this ability to see the circumstances that we're operating within. And instead of kind of like coming up with different combinations of factors that could keep people safe, we just sort of rely on whatever strategy we've been doing in previously. But I'm thinking of things like, well, what if we had, you know, what if instead of just like having this massive bail fund, what if we have a massive strike fund for like Amazon workers or something? Totally. And then we just like shut some shit down and stay in our houses, because we're all quite well aware as like rational leftists that going out and like assembling is hurting people. But if we actually made a protest where we actually did some social distancing, because we never like got to the point of quarantine that allowed like essential workers to stay home, you know? And now we're like raising all of this money and we're like putting it in all of these situations because we're basically needing to bandage up the, you know, fact that everyone is getting put in jail. And, you know, it, like, we could be using this money to keep everyone in their homes.
Right, and the bail funds fund the system as well. It funds, it just goes back into it.
Right. And that's all I'm saying is, like, you know, why isn't it, you know, because we're so good at collectively crowdfunding on the left, and it's like, you know, we could be thinking about ways to use that to our advantage and make it safe.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really coherent leadership on the left, and that's the left's problem. And, like, it's just, like, a bunch of... Yeah, I think it just becomes a bunch of, like, finger pointing without, like, I don't know, without an actual structure of which to start. Like everyone can start to say that, and I think people have, like, started to say, like, we're just in a cycle. We're in the same cycle we've been in 2014 and 2016. And
yeah. And it's just sort of like reaching this level where people are, they're like, oh, I figured it out. Like, I have to be a part of this now. And it's like, well, yes, of course. But the thing is, there's ways that we can be a part of this while, like, I don't know. I guess it is just a failure of leadership, just kind of not pointing people in the direction.
Yeah, there's no leadership, really. There's a lack of leadership.
Yeah.
That's why I think people do point to the same two or three senators and get all hung up about, like, you know, someone like Ed Markey, who's, like, a pretty good ally, getting primaried by a fucking Kennedy clone.
Yep.
Like, just bullshit like that, that takes a lot of energy to swat off those gnats and then get back to it. Like, it's just like, yeah, how and all of that, all of these, like, these couple of folks with power, like, aren't even, like, that great of allies anyway. So it's like, why are we spending? Yeah, it just doesn't.
Well, I think it's like, if, you know, it's like we spend all of this time kind of, like, you know, whatever, so like concerned about how Bernie Sanders is operating, and it's just like, well, what do you want? For, like, you can see the position that he's in, and it's almost, it's like we expect him to be like a kamikaze pilot or something. But he wouldn't be in the position he was in if he was just, like, a full on.
Of course, but at this point, I do expect him to be a kamikaze pilot. He's fucking 80 something. Like, he did it. Like, he did a lot of shit. Now really take some risks. Like, I don't know. I'm sure there's deeply entrenched reasons as to why he can't or whatever, and that we've been making that excuse for him even when he did have a chance.
No, it's just that he's a career politician. So he's just, like, in his place being a career politician, and everyone is like, what? Wait, that's terrible. How come you're not the other thing that I want you to be? And it's like, what, this is what he is.
But that's the point. Like, it's like, yeah. That was always the point. It was always to, like, have somebody who would be sympathetic to criticism rather than someone like Joe Biden, who's like, don't vote for me.
Right. Exactly. It's just like, it's like, we know that it is a concession to vote for Bernie, and it's not like if you're conscious of the sort of the general makeup of this person's behavior, this person's track record, you know, and then you kind of can compare it to the rest of these soul-sucking bastards, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel betrayed by him. I just completely understand that, like, at one point Obama stepped in, was like, hey, it'd be terrible if something happened to your kneecaps, right? Anyway, yeah. Time for you to drop out and endorse my boy, okay? well, I'm a thug. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, what, why would I be mad? I already, it's like, I get it. I see it. I hear it. It's, this is the way it functions.
No, I mean, I like, get that part too. But then for him to now, after all of that, be like, yeah, actually, police should be paid more. Like, and that's our, that's like the guy that we had for a little while, like, is the one who's like, actually, they're not paid enough.
Did he say that, though?
Yes!
That's crazy.
That's what I'm fucking mad about. Like, it's
that's
like,
fucking crazy.
All the other stuff, yeah, I feel like we've been on the same page with this, like, you know, Bernie is concession, Bernie is the compromise, and a problem. But then now, for him, he's not even, like, it's he's not even in the fucking thing anymore. He already fucking was useless, like for a bunch of other stuff, whatever. But then for him to now, in like the past couple weeks, be like, yeah, I don't defund the police. No, actually give them more competitive wages to, like, fucking, they're good jobs. Like, that's people, like they're already pretty good as far as jobs go. They don't need fucking more. Like, that's just fucking insane.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm mad about. But otherwise, yeah, I totally agree. Like, it's not surprising at all. And even this isn't, like, surprising. I'm just still mad about it.
Yeah, because it was like, I saw the headline and I was just sort of like, ugh, I don't really want to read about this.
It's fine. No, it's
but
totally.
It's like, I saw a headline that was like, you know, Bernie Sanders, he's talking about how police are a thing that should exist because they have all throughout history. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I like can't even concentrate on, you know, a take from somebody who has no power to affect change. It's like,
yeah,
like, whatever, I don't know, like, he could have had an opinion like, actually, I think cops should shoot rainbows out of their asses, let me tell you how that's gonna work. But like, I, you know, it's, I just would, I can't, I just,
but all,
don't,
yeah,
know.
No, I know, all this current stuff, like, it's like stuff that we've been talking about on this show for a really long time, the sort of, that there's this sort of disconnect between, like, DSA, Jacobin type left, and then like these, like, neighborhood anti-gentrification groups that represent, like, more Native New Yorker people of color, and then there's like this disconnect between these two groups that they are at odds at certain ways that makes organizing hard. Like, everything that I've seen from DSA and Jacobin types are like kind of flailing to respond to this moment, and I think that makes perfect sense. And I've even seen, like, you know, the sort of Red Scare people making their, you know, extreme anti-ID poll takes that then trickle down to the Chapo folks, sometimes, not always, but the one that I've been, like, thinking about, like, just thinking about is the idea of, like, oh, well, if we abolishment is childish, if we abolish the cops, what if they'll be replaced with, like, neoliberal private security? And that's been, like, that take has been bothering me, because we already have that in New York City. Like, basically, we already have, the police are getting a lot of private funding, and, like, at the private beck and call of a lot of, like, you know, ruling class politicians and corporations. Like,
yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, we kind of also have talked a little bit about the way that police have been kind of, they're invented force to care for capital, protect their interests and everything. Like, and then it's, I mean, it's not really a surprise that any way they get funded, they're still also going to have some nice donations from the people that they protect the most.
Yeah, these galas or like these, like,
yeah, the, like, even police balls or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like, it is like, it does sort of run like a mob type gang, like their protection racket type shit.
Yeah. I mean, just the thing for me about like the whole abolition movement is just, it's like nobody can, like, I don't know. It's like I've been having a hard time with people going like, hey, well, you know what? We'll just replace everyone with social workers.
No, yeah,
and
that's
I'm like,
not
no,
good.
That's also terrifying because it's basically like every codified system is just another branch of the hegemony. So
Panopticon, baby. Yeah,
well, it is. I mean, like if you get into the concepts of like biopolitical structures and the ways that like soft power also functions in this, and like we've talked about it a lot also on the podcast about like all institutions, cultural institutions are cops too, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like everything is, yep, here to control you in one frame or another. And so for people to go like, oh no, I just want to be policed with like pills and somebody teaching me how to think and feel better, and
oh,
just
yeah.
Yeah, it's like full-on dystopian,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like mind management instead of just physical violence.
Well, it's like it's yeah, I of course, like I have criticisms all around. I'll fucking, I think that's the best way to go about things is to do criticism. And that's why it's like when I hear criticism I don't necessarily agree with, I'm like, well, let's talk about it. Let's not just like get mad and cancel,
yeah,
each other or whatever. I'm just like, let's fucking talk about it.
Well, and that's the kind of difficult thing, because it's like when you try to say like, well, what is the nature of abolition? What are we really getting at here?
So
because...
what I've brought up now is the like the 8toabolition.com
yeah
thing, which I do like, and I think it does lay out 8 really good demands that are very cohesive.
Yeah, they're very clear.
And
I love it. Yeah. Defund the police, demilitarize, yeah, communities, remove police from schools, free people from prisons and jails, repeal laws criminalizing survival, invest in community self-governance, provide safe housing for everyone, invest in care, not cops. I love that. Like, it's very concrete.
Yeah. And if you go to the website, you can click all of them and like you can read detailed bullet points of each one.
Yeah.
And, and there's links to read more, and it's like this is something that I think everyone on the left should process, like this page and if they have a problem with it, like why? And I want to know why. And like it just it feels like something that the anarchist and communist sides or persuasions could both learn a lot from.
I completely agree that like, you know, anytime that I've encountered a conversation about something that we can proactively participate in, like, oh yes, I will protest to defund this, you know, like today we are focusing on this action, and
yeah,
this action fits into a larger strategy that we're working on to, and then it's awkward because it's like really to reform this social,
this pre-existing
kind of like,
social system.
Yeah. And it's,
yeah,
like, but then the second that you say, oh, reform, people are like, no, no, it's abolition. And it's like, no, I get it. But even in the language that these these bullet points are bringing forward, they also talk about reform within abolition, which is like, you know,
yeah,
so we can kind of disarm there and just kind of relax a little bit about language, because I think there's some sort of like PTSD or something going on around the word reform, where it's like, no way, man, that just means we're gonna get stuck with a raw deal.
Well, I hate because it can be attributed to like the type of reforms that the liberals want, I think, are the extremely technocratic like Camden model.
Oh yeah.
Which, you know, requires a lot of like surveillance tech, their favorite shit. and
which we're gonna get anyway, unless we factor in some kind of a demand that we are not surveilled, and that's not really going so well for any culture that stands up to, like, data.
It brings me to the other thing that's like kind of confusing these protests are like the reports of like, you know, people working, like people who have self-proclaimed themselves leaders and organizers then working with the cops and controlling the marches, it's something that, like, I don't know, I personally have been advocating for a long time, which is like people should be getting involved in their local anti-gentrification groups that have been doing this type of work for way longer than like the DSA resurgence and like just really have those deep connections to the neighborhoods that you can actually like trust these marches to mean something, instead of just like getting instantly co-opted by a model from Instagram who's just some fucking guy from I don't remember where he was from, like North Carolina or something.
Yeah, there is a danger at this point of people kind of latching on to aestheticized protest, and like I don't know though, because ultimately it seems that since there is no central there's no central cohesive
DSA, from my understanding, is just sort of like this is what I've heard from people, like correct me if I'm wrong, but like they've just been sort of like, this caught us off guard and we just want to like defer to other groups. And so there hasn't been like a super strong DSA contingent at these, but I think there should be.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what there should be, because honestly, I'm waiting to see what kind of detriment this movement will have to the public health, Yeah, do I want to like wave a big old flag and then also kind of get a lot of people sick? I don't know. Like, I can't. That's just where my mind keeps going back to. So it's hard for me to say. Like, and everything is just kind of happening so spontaneously. I support everybody, you know, seizing the moment, but it's also like, oh god, in a few weeks I just am not sure where our city's gonna be or our country, like, you know, I don't know.
There, we're seeing right now, we're seeing the uptick from Memorial Day,
right?
And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but yeah, it's like, but it's, you know, it's also, I don't blame the, you know, I don't blame this fucking spontaneity, because like it's coming from a place of severe desperation too, because people just have nothing. They're like, you know, like us, like we had to like leave our homes because of like the system didn't work. Like, maybe, like, I just got unemployment like 3 days ago, right? Yeah. I applied in April, like early April, and maybe if that shit had like worked properly sooner, I wouldn't have had to leave my home of 7 years. I mean, I probably would have fucking anyway, because
yeah, it was time.
It was time. But you know, for people in very similar situations, the system failed them, and you know, maybe if that's like a phenomenon that's happening with a lot of people, maybe we'll see less people out in the streets, because they're like, okay, I got my unemployment, I can, you know, like I can pay rent. I don't have to expropriate this Target to.
Right.
But it's, yeah, I mean, I think it's totally fair, even if people did, you know, because like even if you do get the the state money. It's often not enough. And
yeah, no, of course. Yeah. And I mean, like, I mean, I never got the unemployment. I was denied the unemployment. Mm-hmm. I am working now, you know, and finding my way. But it's just, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know because I understand the initial uprising and I understand like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Like take down the third precinct and like take down the Target. And, you know, I loved seeing people go through Soho because it felt like such a yes. reclamation. Like it was amazing. And I believed in those gestures and I'm fully in support. Cannot stress that enough. I am in support. But it's just like now that we're seeing kind of all of these connections of like, you know, we've had a lot of time to plan what to do in to keep this momentum up. And it's just like, uh-oh, we're the thing that we chose to do is the most kind of, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know how to think about this. So I get it if people are not like endorsing or whatever.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a lot of anxiety about it. Right now I'm helping to organize a gathering as part of like the Ridgewood Tenants Union. We have a protest on Sunday and like our whole thing is trying to, you know, actually frame this thing to be confrontational with our local officials who have failed and yeah, confrontation with like not just these because a lot of them have just turned into like this is an important moment, so I'm just gonna go out to any of them, but like yeah, it's very directionless. So like our thing is like we've been this org for a long time and we want to like have some actual like steering of this conversation, and like we've framed it to be like a conversation about like what defunding and abolition could actually look like and how we could actually like enact them, and you know,
right,
and have and like a conversation.
Yeah, and I mean like I think that it's great to have those sort of underpinnings of a clear platform that you're arguing for. And also
yelling at the politicians' houses, I think, is really good.
Yeah, go direct to the source. something like that. It's like very pinpointed, but then also will gain legitimacy because there are so many of these diffuse groups everywhere that it's like, well, not only are there masses out there, but we also have contingencies that are like willing to discuss a more clear demand. And like, I don't know. Yeah. I guess it's all just happening. It's all.
No,
just...
I know. We're trying is what I'm saying. And it's not, you know, we're just, all we can do is try. But it is very frustrating. And there's just like, people are really directionless and they know that like they're also like fucking tired of being indoors for 3 months and like are like, cool, yeah. I can go outside to the park and see my friends.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it's sort of like now you don't have to feel guilty about going outside because
that's
you're doing
part
it for
of it.
A good reason.
That's it's definitely like, part of it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But you still, yeah, I mean, I think there's a way to march distance and safely, but it's just when the cops escalate, then it's not safe anymore. So there's always going to be that risk. And then if you end up near a fucking mouth breather cop, it's like, that's a huge risk because they all have fucking COVID. Like 50% of the NYPD is COVID.
Yeah.
Like, stay the fuck away from them.
Yeah, it's bad.
They're such fucking idiots. Like, I feel like it doesn't make any sense. Like, you guys know that this is like killing your coworkers and you're still not like doing the basic thing to protect yourselves from getting it. It's wild.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, geez, talk about strategy. I have no idea what the cop strategy is.
That is beautiful. I know we talked about this last week, but like, it is beautiful that like we were able to exhaust this fucking force of like 36,000 armed thugs. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they really don't know how to handle people just being outside.
At all.
Like, yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's like the thing. It's like, yeah, what if we didn't have this like totally inept, like weird, pasty pigmen just beating people up for not wearing a mask? And instead we had like a disarmed... regular city worker that just hands out masks at every bus station, at every subway station.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I love it. I want the mask man. Give me mask man. I do not want cops.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, you know, the way the misinformation about the virus happens, like this, the Glenn Greenwald discussion touched on this point too, is that like one of the things they got wrong majorly was that like at first they were downplaying the masks, right? And we learned about this from the transit workers too, is that like the transit workers wanted to wear masks and the city wouldn't let them because the city didn't want them to freak people out.
Yeah.
And they didn't want people to wear masks also because like they didn't have the fucking production. They didn't have the supply lines to be able to provide proper masks for everybody. Like, and they should just fucking say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that will never happen because the state operates on some kind of agreed upon lies that if they were to go back on them, like say, oh, well, you know, something like, you know, war is justified. Bullshit, that's a huge lie. But if they said, you know what, actually this war is unjustified, we'd be like, well, what are we paying taxes for? Yeah. And then everything falls apart. So it's the same thing. It's like, you know, oh, hey, masks, wear them or don't. It's more important if a nurse wears them. Don't think about it too hard.
You can wear a bandana. It's fine.
Yeah. Like,
it's sort of weird. Oh, man. It is beautiful watching everyone rally around getting de Blasio to resign.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is a nice thing to come out of all this.
It is a beautiful silver lining. Because he's got a weakness in his soul. He really did nothing for people.
Nothing.
Yeah. Just like an incredible amount of nothing.
Nothing. Like,
well, except like, for, I mean, he kind of did try to say, like, maybe we should get a little COVID response going, but then Cuomo was like, no, not until it's my TV time.
He's like, you got it, boss.
Yeah. All right. I forgot it. I already forgot.
It's like, no, it is like, that is nice. Like, people have at least been able to channel the protests into being like, de Blasio is a big abject failure. Like, you know, even when he would do like some like technocratic thing that would be really helpful, like he'd then like when it came time to like defending them, he just cut them. He cut the youth program immediately. He cut the composting program. I don't know if he's cut fair fares, but he's never really funded fair fares. But those are all like good things that he did. But then it immediately cut them when it came time to it, you know?
Yeah, well, we know how it goes. Any kind of nice program for people is superfluous to the state budget.
It's just a thing that he can point to and be like, I did that. And it's just like, okay, you did that for like 1,000 people and then you cut it.
Yeah, well, that's 1,000 people who got something they didn't have before.
It's true.
Yeah, think about it like that.
It's harm reduction. Just hate how that's weaponized as well. God, did we touch on, like, what else do we need to touch on this episode? Anything?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really been reading too much news. I just have been reading more theory.
That's cool. I was starting to read. It's very long, but I do want to plug it because it's really good. This piece called Mask Off, Crisis and Struggle in the Pandemic for Cosmonaut Mag.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's a extremely thorough, like, just examining of everything that's happened, like, you know, like we're talking about this episode, just like how schizophrenic the different responses have been, and like just laying out it's really long, and I have not even come, I'm maybe a fourth into it, but I really like it so far, and I like learning more about political economy and crisis theory, and I want to understand Marxist theory in this pandemic moment. So I thought that was a good one to check out. The other thing was, I received a package of zines from a group called Looky Here in Massachusetts, and they're like really nice Rizzo printings of the William Morris essays, How We Live and How We Might, Live. And I have a bunch of those, and I feel like I should like send them to people who support us on Patreon. Because they sent me a bunch. It's so nice of them. I really appreciate it. They're really cool.
That's really awesome. Pretty. I wish I could see them.
I will bring you one. Are you going to come to the thing on Sunday?
I don't know.
You don't have to. I know it's dangerous.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to probably, it's my birthday. So,
oh my God, I forgot. I'm so sorry.
Oh, hey, whatever, man.
God. It is June.
I'm gonna maybe do something this weekend.
Yo, well, can we go on a picnic? What are you doing? Could I come?
I'm going out to Long Island.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice.
Just to chill on a beach or what?
No, I just thought I would go out because I'm in a show that's opening on Saturday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. That's so nice. It's good to get out. My friends drove me to pick up this bike upstate, and it was really nice to just like look at nature.
Oh yeah, God, get out of the city, and it'll destroy your brain.
You can't be here all the time. Mm-mm. God, I'm so sorry I forgot your birthday. I've just been in a time suck.
Nah, it's okay.
I knew it was in June, but June's already here.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, happy birthday, dude.
Thanks.
All right. Yeah. I'm sorry it's during all this bullshit.
It's all right. I'm going to enjoy myself anyway. That's what I've decided. Everyone can just catch me later, because I'm going to enjoy myself.
I mean, I think you should.
Everybody.
And I think people should fucking, you know, hang out outside. There's ways to do it safely, like in driving in cars. If you have the windows down, it's safer. Everyone has a mask. Like,
yeah,
you can go chill and have a picnic. Everybody has their own utensils, and you know, just be safe.
Yeah, be safe. Take it easy. Have a good time.
Hand sanitizer. I don't know.
Yeah. Just wrap yourself up in saran wrap.
Ah, But yeah, I mean, because they're, yeah, but you're right, the people have been getting lax, so it's good to reinforce these things, because people are, you know, you can't stay inside forever, but at the same time, like, you should, you, like, that doesn't mean, like, yeah, go out and be brazen and stuff, but
yeah, no, we're it's all just chaos from here. I just quit trying to make sense of it, and I'm letting everything unfold.
I think you should have a nice time in Long Island, though. You deserve it.
Yeah.
I do have a lot of gifts to bring you sometime when I see you again. It's been like 3 months.
I know. It's been crazy. Well, we'll get it together.
Yeah, we never do, but it's fine.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of shit. I don't know. This thing on Sunday is going to be big, I think. And it's a lot of work, but I don't know. Yeah, it's important to figure this shit out, because, you know, everybody's fucking in the shit. And come August, things are going to get insane.
Yeah, unless someone decides to build a little bit of relief into the situation, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? It seems to just be getting, you know, it's fucking, it's chaos.
It's chaos, but I'm glad, like, we have some, you and I have, like, some things lined up that are, you know, whatever. Like, I'm glad you have a show. I think it's good to be doing art and think it's good. Like,
well, I just don't do anything else, so it's like, good or bad, come on, guys, this is what I do.
You are naturally just like hardworking at it, and that's, and you know,
yeah,
that fucking rocks, and I wish I could see it. Maybe honestly, my friends do have a car, and we're all still unemployed, and I could ask them, but
nice.
So maybe I will, because we were talking about, like, even like going upstate again.
Oh, I want to do that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay,
we go to the Stewart's. We just, yeah, like, we, what we did was we just picked a really clear day so that we could have the windows open in the car.
That's lovely.
Yeah,
it's like a real road trip, you know.
Yeah.
You put your hand out the window and you wave it around, and then you sing Pink Moon.
But I do also want to get a COVID test. I do want to do that.
Yeah.
I just, like, I don't want to go and, like, wait in line for hours. That's what, like, the city MDs are crazy.
It's so annoying. It's like, can't they just, like, have a large facility for testing somewhere? You can just go in and get a test.
Well, there should be tons. I don't, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, every clinic, like, should be offering them for free everywhere. Like,
ugh. Oh, well.
And, like, they have, like, a quota a day or something where they have to give out, like, I don't know, like, 50 a day or some shit.
Yeah, and they got a hype man out front. They're like, yes! Hey, man, you look like you need a test.
Can I interest you in a test this evening?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're on a date? Well, that's a perfect time to do it.
Two for the price of one. Free. Yeah,
it's free. Yeah, you gotta check. I mean, gosh, what happens if you kiss and one of you has COVID? Come on, come in. Were you trying to go to dinner? No, come on.
Oh my god. Oh my god, did you see the sex guidelines about glory holes?
Yes, I did. Oh, Jesus. Oh my god. Yeah. Hey, everybody, get creative and kinky with your face masks. Maybe try doing it through a sheet. You're going to be fine. Also, so COVID isn't cum.
If they've, like, given up this much, they should just be building more hospitals. Like, that's what's so fucked.
Yeah. Like,
if they've given up this much and they just know that, like, there's going to be a big second wave, like, then they should be fucking preparing the hospitals.
Take $1 billion away from the cops and make another hospital.
Please. God damn.
At least
we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna bring up shit like that on Sunday to our presentation, because like that's like just clear what we should be demanding right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, well, this was fun, actually.
Yeah.
And we figured it out and we winged it and it was good and I loved it.
Yeah, we solved a lot, you know.
We're just like, all right, the left, go figure it out.
Yeah, well, hey, I have my strategy. I just think everyone should be putting a strike fund together so
yes.
that we can stop major sectors of our economy and we can stay at home. That's
Absolutely.
I feel like that's a very clear strategy that I've offered.
It's really good. I'm gonna I contacted the local 100 Fight Back to talk to us and they were interested, so I'm gonna get back to them. I think
that's cool.
They were on Democracy Now! Recently.
Yeah.
And what if we talk? We have maybe we can talk to them about that idea.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I mean, like, does it work? Doesn't it work?
What
but
do you
it's
think?
Cool. You know, the last time I had an idea like this, it was like when the Gilets Jaunes was like opening up different toll roads for people to go through for free, so that, like, you know, France wasn't getting that internal revenue or whatever.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And then I was like, oh, wouldn't that be cool if we just started letting people into the subways for free, you know, like as a protest? And then it was like a few months
Everyone's
later, and then
it.
FTP was happening, and I was like, oh, cool. So if, you know, you see one thing happening in a movement, or you have an idea, it's probably percolating in,
it's really
in
good to put
minds.
It out there. It's really good to just put it out into the world. Like I feel like you and I both have like pretty good clarity of purpose or like ideas, and it's just good to put them out there, and that's why I'm glad we do the show, bud.
Yay! We're doing it. We're putting those ideas out there.
Okay.
Taking the news in.
I do have to go because I'm running late for I'm painting banners.
Get in there. Get in there and do the thing.
All right.
You gotta go.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Let's have fun.
Yeah, let's have fun.
Let's have fun, lots of fun.